All right, yeah, let's roll it, guys. We'll start right here. And there we go. Benson should be back here. Welcome to Into the 99, guys. We're doing a deck tech today. Benson has created what I thought was a weird deck style at first and what I've just seen grow into something that seems very, very fun and silly. So without dragging anything on, Benson, tell us who we're deck teching today and what you made.
Today, our deck tech is with Commander Legends Goblin All-Star. I know, Lotus, you have your own little order of who the best goblins are. But for me, in my heart fire, my soul wind, it's Togo, Goblin Weaponsmith.
I tell you what, if you win my heart, I will push Brash Taunter down to third.
Okay, we're going to make that happen. Sorry, Zach. And its partner is going to be Thrasios. So I kind of caught like wind of a deck with Kadama and Togo, and it fun really well. But in my noggin, I figured, oh, like we could do better if we had blue. There's a lot more things that can be done with artifacts. And with this being Togo's ability with lands, I'll get into that after if you don't remember that ability. With Thrasios being able to put a land into play, it helps our gameplay a lot here. So Togo is a goblin artificer for three. His ability is whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, create a colorless equipment artifact token named Rock. With equipped creature has pay one and tap it, sacrifice the rock. The creature deals two damage to any target, and it has equip one. And that's where the deck kind of, you know, took a wild turn with Thrasios there. And kind of like Rocks Matter, I named the deck Rock. They Rock Together. That'll be in the link in our link tree on Instagram. But it was a lot of fun. Honestly, I've played it a bunch. Just the synergies involved, I couldn't be happier with. There is a couple of different ways to build it. The way I built it is not necessarily budget, but I'm sure we could find a way to make it functional.
It down a little bit.
Yeah, cut it down, or if you have like no limit and you want to boost it up, we can get into that too. But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I've played it on stream. You could probably catch it on our YouTube, a couple matches. And not necessarily too successful. Like I had one gnarly win that I can even get into that combo line after. But no, it was just been a lot of fun to play. Like I'm not really into this deck to win, but it's just a blast to pilot.
Thrasios is a commander you usually see and people overestimate how strong it is because it's so often paired with competitive decks. So it's really fun to see it used in something that isn't like, all right, infinite mana, turn one Thrasios kind of style. Thrasios, you got to remember, is still just a fun creature to play, like you said, right?
Oh, he's like, if you use him fairly, in this case, like I know we have keyword fairly. I think Togo is a perfect partner for that. We're in Teemer, which is already fantastic. You know, they see Thrasios, and I kind of get a little bit of a look, but then they see Togo, and they're like, oh,
they're like, all right, where's this going?
Where's this going? And that's going to kind of start us off here with what I want to get into is the land package. Bringing up Thrasios there. I have 36 lands, a lot. Actually, all of the fetch lands except for Marsh Flats, because that wouldn't make sense in green, red, blue.
Yeah, there's no swamper plains to fetch.
Yeah, exactly. So with Fabled Passage and Prismatic Vista and the nine other fetch lands, it makes the deck very functional. Now, again, with a little more ramp, if you can't have access to those fetch lands, I'm sure it'll work great. But this basically means that every time you go to fetch, you play a fetch and then you get the land, you're going to get two rocks. You're going to get two rocks off Togo. And these rocks are important to our game plan because either we're going to use them in a silly way or we're going to dome people for two every time we equip it to a creature. And toss it.
If someone looks at you the wrong way, you're going to rock.
exactly. So with that, I'm not running too many basics. A lot of them are the dual lands, just necessary. So, you know, Stomping Ground and whatnot, Breeding Pool, like, they're a little higher again. Like, you're going to be putting a lot of money into this mana base, but in the long run, you're going to have a blast. The other lands that are in there are the Karoos. Is that what they're called? It's been a while since I've used that name.
The Bounce Lands?
Yeah, the Bounce Lands. Yeah. There's the three of them in there. I can get into that later as well.
Yeah, like the Growth Chamber, that kind of stuff, Boilerworks.
Yeah, so I'm excited to tell you how that kind of plays in. But to start off, I think we're going to go with When You Can't Throw. Okay. That's one of the topics here. And the Archidex. So we have Gyrpur Aethergrid. And with your rocks, it says tap two untapped artifacts you control. And then Gyrpur Aethergrid does one damage to target creature or player.
So that'll be errated. Well, that'll be errated to any target, and that's
to any target. Yeah.
Tap two untapped artifacts. Yeah. So you've got really, really good damage potential and blow things off the board. You can still throw the rocks too. I like that.
Yeah. So if you get there's a board wipe and you have that out, it's not going to really affect you. Like, all the creatures are going to be gone, but you're still going to be able to put damage through, and that's a big advantage with I guess how many good removal spells are there. There are. So that's a fun one. Also, within that aspect, we have one of my favorites here also, Reckless Fireweaver, for when these rocks are coming into play. And if you're getting two or more rocks into play at each turn, whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, it does one damage to each opponent.
Ooh, so, I like that.
Yeah, The more lands you can get into play, or the more times you can duplicate your rocks, the more damage you're going to be doing to everybody. Kind of reminds me, it's not as good as a Glint-Eyed Minotaur with the Keen Sense or whatever on it. I wish I kind of put that in here now that I'm thinking about it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I noticed you also threw Inspiring Statuary in it. It's an artifact for three non-artifact spells you control have improvised, so you can tap them to pay the colorless mana, which is awesome.
You're going to have all your mana available. You're going to have a ton of rocks available, so you're going to be able to... You know, a lot of people are going to catch on, and they're going to want to remove Togo and Thrasios, so this kind of helps you catch back up.
Well, a card like this as well makes it so easy to just ignore that commander tax if somebody does just keep going after Togo. Because they don't want the rocks, you just say, okay, cool. And as many people maybe don't know, you can't respond to someone playing a land, so you'll always get your Togo triggers off.
Always.
Yeah, land does not use the stack.
And I saw it here with that first card that we mentioned, Gyrfuror
Aethergrid.
Yep.
We got the Seaboard Muse. We can tap those rocks on everybody's turn.
Yes, sir. So... And with the Seaboard Muse, I'll start in this deck. Merchant Dockhand is another one. It's out of the two kind of card draws that I have involving these rocks, it's the lesser of the two. But you pay four and you tap X amount of artifacts you control. Look at the top X cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom in any order. So that really helps you dig for win cons or just more lands or whatever you need. So that's kind of like... Cost one, so you can put it out right away. And then if you have nothing to play on with four mana, you can just use that, because hopefully you got Togo out in at least one or two rocks.
Well, and that's a really good mana sink, too, as well. The scry aspect is nice.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah.
And the better one of the two. Now, I think I've been able to get this out almost every game with the card draw that I've had. Shimmer Dragon, Lotus, Brian.
I've seen this, and this has drawn you so many cards every game to the point I think you nearly decked yourself.
Nearly decked myself, thanks to Muse.
It's really funny, like I was saying, when you mentioned you were making this deck, I blew it off as a joke. I didn't think that it could actually do anything. I was like, why Togo?
But when Daniel loves stupid decks, that's the thing too. Oh,
and I haven't looked through this. I've only heard you talk about it while building, and just like looking through how you have it organized right now. Like I want to play something like this. Like it looks so fun. The tap two untapped artifacts you control to draw a card with 40 rocks on the field, because that's the thing. It seems so stupid. You're like, I have 50 rocks, and everyone's like, okay, so what? I'll draw 25 cards. What?
What? Oh, yeah, I was definitely doing that. And even better, it's got, if you control four or more artifacts, it has hexproof, which is
a non-issue. Yeah, oftentimes it's hitting the board undeterred by any threats except mass removal. Like, I like that.
Yeah, that's an insane card.
Get rid of that. I can still do rock damage with those rocks, even with no creatures out. The next one, and I finished off a game last week with this, and that's Velduk, Keeper of the Flame. And with him, if you're not familiar with his ability, but at the beginning of your combat step, you get a 3/1 elemental creature token with haste, depending on how many equipment are on Velduk. So if you just pile the man with rocks.
Just weight him down?
If you just weigh him down with rocks, it's cool. He's got elementals to do the work for him if he can't budge. So the more rocks you equip on the man, the better outcome you get with elementals.
I equip him with 20 rocks.
Valdic's very funny. Right?
I get 23/1 elementals.
I just recently put him back into that Arden and Rogue Rock deck, and it's really fun to be like, I'll put 20 equipment on him.
And then this whole deck with equipping, especially in this aspect, with Velduk piling him with rocks, it's just not something that you would, you go out of your way to do. At least in my opinion, like, hey, let's pile a bunch of rocks on this person, then we get a bunch of creatures out of it. So,
I've noticed that you've skipped over a card, and to equip a rock, it's one mana, correct?
Yes.
I've just seen that Urza is hiding behind Velduk, so you can tap a rock for blue to equip itself.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
It's fantastic. And you're also going to get a big construct out of it. The other thing that's nice is even if you have the rocks tapped, it doesn't affect you throwing them because the creature has to tap. It doesn't matter about the rock being tapped. So the amount of like synergies that can build from this, Lotus, you can the rocks become literal mana rocks.
Wow.
And the best part,
I have to say it, would you call them rocks sapphires?
I
dislike myself too.
When we played the very first couple times that we played this deck, or Benson played this deck against us, he gambled for Urza twice.
Oh yeah.
And both times Urza was selected as the one to pitch.
Ooh, that's rough.
Out of spite, I've actually removed Gamble from this list because I just can't, my heart can't take that anymore.
You can only be disappointed so many times.
I laughed so hard. Especially the second time that it happened.
So that's the segment of when you can't throw. Where do you want to go to next, Benson?
Well, we can briefly go over the equipment involved.
Okay.
Two of them specifically, since we are going to start throwing them.
Rocks.
Rocks. We're going to start throwing rocks. So Basilisk Caller. These rocks that you throw now have Death Touch and Lifelink.
Ouch.
Those are some pretty killer rocks. Yeah.
It's like the Death Touch just makes it seem like you have precision aim. I threw a single rock and killed him.
Right? Yeah, you're just bodying them. That two damage doesn't matter because they're going to die by getting flicked with a pebble. Also, side note, Togo is the creator of the rock. And he's also the creator of lightning. If you look at the card, you can see both in the art. But every rock that he throws, he invented. So take that in mind with the lore when you're playing it.
So I actually went through my goblin collection just for you, Benson, and I found the origin of Togo.
Dominarian planet, see?
On Shock.
Is that where it was?
So it's Shock, the 2 damage spell, and it says, as the flavor text, I love lightning. It's my best invention since the rock. Togo, goblin weaponsmith.
There you go.
And that was from Legion?
That is from Onslaught.
Onslaught, okay. I saw the symbol. That's awesome.
He's been itching to come out. Commander Legends was a beautiful thing.
I didn't even think about it, but it would make sense that he is a legendary creature from back in the past, like all of them.
Mm-hmm. Now it now makes sense why there's lightning in the background of the artwork.
Hmm. Yeah, he invented both. He's very proud.
Yes.
He's very proud. There's actually, I will probably be able to list them later, but there's a lot of great flavor text that has Togo saying it in the magic. It's one of them was, I think there's a guy with a Gatling gun, and he's like, oh, Togo's going to love this because it was like a rock Gatling gun. I'm going to have to look that up. Togo's going to love this. I'm going to have to look those up, and we're going to put them in the description. The history of
Togo, I just looked it up, and it's pretty funny. I got to quickly read it. It's, no one would have guessed that a seemingly ordinary Skirk Ridge goblin would grow up to become the greatest inventor in the history of Dominaria. Togo experimented for many years trying to develop the ultimate weapon. The spear was a bust. It was too hard to figure out which end was which. Experiments with crossbows led to a series of foot injuries among the weapons testers. The design flaws inherent in double-bladed swords are well known. In a flash of inspiration, Togo invented the rock, the perfect weapon, harder than a goblin's skull that could be swung, thrown, or dropped from a great height. The rock proved to be so successful that the Skirk Ridge has been completely destroyed by overmining, a testament to the enduring demand for this design classic.
Actually, I found him, guys, here. I did some quick digging. Spitfire Handler, he's got a Gatling gun, and it's like, wait till Togo sees this.
Hmm.
And then one of his quotes is also, did you know that wood burns even better than rocks? some solve problems by thinking and talking. Others use rocks. Like, there's so many. Yeah.
So many great quotes about rocks.
Yeah. And then there's a golem that says the flavor text on that one. What's better than smashing things with a rock? A rock that gets up and smashes things for you. So if you dig, like, there's so many good Togo quotes. There's also so many good equipment for Togo. I only put Basilisk Collar and this other one in Grafted Exoskeleton. So now
rocks scares me.
Death Touch and Lifelink, and now they also have Infect. So if you have that with a C4 Muse and a couple rocks equipped to a creature, you're looking at a quick death for someone around the table.
Six rocks. Six rocks equals death.
Yeah, six rocks equals death.
Is it 2 damage?
Yeah, it's 2 damage.
Gross.
It's just
So that's 6 mana or 6 creatures that you have to tap to toss the rock to kill someone?
The equip 2. But if you're just tapping and tapping, you could probably have someone almost dead by the time it's your turn again after the rotation of players.
And then...
So just say what. You know what? I'm actually a little mad because I'm showing you guys the whole deck list here for when I play you. You're going to know what's coming.
I'm excited. I'll be smiling the whole time. And then you've got the zoom boots, obviously.
We've got the zoom boots. Yeah, obviously. Got to make those creatures tap as fast as possible to throw those rocks.
Yeah, hexproof haste swiftfoot boots. You have a miscellaneous section. Do you want to do that after or do you want to do it now?
I can do it now.
All right, yeah, I'll let you start it up there.
Amulet of Vigor, very important with Thrasios' ability. Now, I haven't played Thrasios too often. If I'm kind of hurting for lands, then it's a great source to kind of get that rolling. But Amulet of Vigor, Thrasios' lands come in tapped. So do the Karus that we were talking about earlier. So it still gives us card advantage right off the bat. Instead of it coming in tapped, we can use that one mana to equip the rock that just came into play because of the land. So that right there is phenomenal synergy. If you're going to be Doman people, that's what you want to do. you want to have that mana available to equip, and you want that creature to tap. It if they have Death Touch, like I haven't equipped Death Touch to Togo or a creature yet. I can't wait for you guys to
experience that.
You're not an animal yet.
Yeah, not an animal yet. And then, you know what, I'll kind of hop ahead a little bit here. Talking about equipping, we have Dalakos, Crafter of Wonders.
I hate this one here. I've seen it happen twice.
Yeah, so he's got, you know, tap, add two. I'm kind of having struggle there. Yeah, tap two. Spend this mana to only cast artifact spells. Sure, whatever. Equip creatures you control have flying and haste. So if you hand a creature a rock, not only can he attack that turn, but he
you can weigh them down. You weigh them down. They can fly.
Yeah. Here, hold this rock. It'll help you fly. So now, like I was saying, like that's a really good thing. I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard, but like this deck is just so fun to pilot. Because again, when I played that, when I landed that on the table, Brian just started cracking up.
Physics doesn't work here.
Yeah, in the world of Magic, physics doesn't work. So yeah, you hand a guy a rock,
he has fly.
Flying in haste. The other kind of big one is Ashaya, Soul of the Wild. Now, I don't have too many artifacts in here that, you know, with like, I'm just kind of focused on rocks.
That's the game plan.
It's just rocks. Rocks matter. I have a lot of creatures in this deck, though. So Ashaya, Soul of the Wild, makes everything come into play as a forest. So we were talking about wanting rocks into play, be it to throw or to tap for different abilities.
Togo becomes a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything gets becomes a forest. Everything gets a rock for us.
So when... No, it's only creatures and lands, right? Non-creatures you control. Sorry.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, okay. Because I was like, the rock centers? Never mind. Yeah,
they're not creatures. No, just
creatures. Yeah. That would be too broken.
Infinite rock generator?
Infinite rock generator, exactly.
We just rebuilt the mountain we mined.
I see you have a lot of things to bring down activated abilities, too. Like,
sorry, what's that? Oh, yeah, then we have the Biomancer's Familiar and Training Grounds. That's specifically for Thrasios to make it cheaper so we can get those lands into play.
It also functions well with all your equip costs, turning that equip into nothing.
Into nothing, yeah.
No, oh, wait, so does rocks... it? Are the equi- is it equip one or equip? Oh, okay,
it's so equip still, one.
Still.
Yeah. But still, within that, having Thrasios be cheaper to get those lands into play if we're, hurting a little bit, that's come in handy. I think I've only played her once and twice because the deck functions pretty well without her. But yeah, for that, Training Grounds and Biomancer's Familiar. There is Hull Breacher in this deck.
Boo.
I play it as a win con. I've even, chose to discard that card. I was playing against Tiny Bones, and I chose that one. Like, I don't necessarily need it. It's just in there pretty nice. I played it against Brian when he had a Teferi's Puzzle Box because I was planning on winning that next turn. But with Shimmer Dragon out and people with those extra draw steps, like, I could have drawn my whole deck, done something from there. So I don't want to use it like a jerk. It's just in there if I'm probably going to win the game next turn.
That's fair. You're not trying to mega stacks it?
I'm not trying to mega stacks it. This deck's for fun. Parallel Lives is in there, though, so that we're netting two rocks per one land.
Double rock tokens.
Double rocks. I've actually had to keep accumulating rock tokens. I think I'm at 40 now, and I still needed more.
You just have a stack of them beside you when you play?
Yeah, I've got a full stack.
Run out to the driveway and just scoop up some gravel. Bam!
That's what I was thinking. Just like bring in a bag of actual rocks. Yeah, like get some gravel. Every time you toss a rock at someone, you actually just throw a piece of gravel at someone. You want your immersion? Here you go.
I was going to say you're banned from the game store, but it was worth it.
But it was worth it. Oh, we have Phyrexian Metamorph. in this. Now, worst case, we pay 3 mana and 2 life for it to become a rock.
I was going
to
say, if you made it become a rock, I'd probably throw up laughing.
I might have to do that now, just for you.
Phyrexian Metamorph, I'll choose rock. I would just... choose rock? I would laugh so hard.
Oh, I'm getting too many ideas in my head now because of you guys. This is great.
That'd be good, clean fun. I would definitely have a good laugh at that one.
Rhythm of the Wild, so that we have some Haste shenanigans. I don't think I'll ever use the +1/+1.
Well, and your creatures can't be countered is also very solid. And can't be
countered. Yeah.
Speaking about things that can't be countered, we tore a Vexing Shusher last episode that also had that ability.
And that would go great in here, too.
That would go great in here, too. I would have had one, but these guys chose to rip it.
Again, don't put that owner on us.
We chose badly. That's on us.
Chose poorly, yeah.
I do like the next Planeswalker you have, Saheeli the Gifted. She's from the Planeswalker decks, the can be commander ones. Yep. She's 2 and is it, has 4 loyalty to start. Her +1 creates a 1/1 artifact servo token, which I love. Any +1 that can protect itself is a very strong ability. The next +1 is probably the thing I don't know your game plan in it, but it's, if I was doing it, my game plan would be for the huge, huge mana reduction you can get out of this. The next spell you cast is 1 less for each artifact you control as you cast it.
Yep.
So that's in this basically a pay the colored mana. And then it's -7 for each artifact you control. Create a token that's a copy of it, and it gains haste. Exile them at the beginning of the next end step. So again, another giant rock generator.
Or if I need to protect it, sure, the top ability, but it's mainly for that other +1 that you were talking about.
Yeah, that +1 is solid. The protecting itself is just a great ability in general. You're not gonna be behind making a token with a +1. But yeah, that ability to basically get rid of all of your spell, like, because if you gen wave for 13, you basically pay 3 green with that. Oof.
I don't have gen wave in here, but I could pay just 3 green for that, and that would be phenomenal.
I would put Genwave in here. I'll put Genwave in everything. Mono blue deck Genwave.
Genwave. The Gwenwave. One other fun interaction is Scapeshift. This kind of, if you have a Parallel Lives out, this is even nastier. But what you want to do with Scapeshift is whatever lands you have out, you want to Scapeshift and you want to put fetch lands into play. And then you want to sack those fetch lands, and you want to put other lands into play.
That's so many rocks.
So many rocks. And then if you have Shimmer Dragon out, or if you have Gyarapur Aether Grid, you're doing a lot of damage, or you're drawing a lot of cards. So again, I love the little goofy synergies here. But yeah, if you're scape shifting for fetch lands, and that's why it's kind of worth it for those fetch lands. If you can't put them all in, I suggest putting some in. Again, for functionality, I do want to point out that even, you know, before we get into the rest of the deck, I wouldn't call this deck competitive, even with these fetch lands in it.
Well, yeah, exactly. We were talking about that before, and fetches, they will make it a little more consistent, but it really is what you're doing with it, right? Like, because you're trying to make rocks, right?
Yeah.
You could always run the slow fetches. You're running Amulet of Vigor anyway.
Yeah, that is true. Like, the slow fetches, there's lots of ways to land fix in a deck. So you definitely can budget this, but yeah, like, this is just going to make it again, right? Like, fetch lands in a group hug deck aren't the same as fetch lands in a competitive one. Like, when you look at it that way, you're just trying to make rocks. And like you said, they're not necessary. They just are going to accelerate your rock generation train.
You can even look at it, like, if you can spend a little bit of money, but not a lot of money, if you can't afford at least 4 fetch lands, just get a doubling season, right? Like, and then you're saving yourself, so probably like 50, 60 bucks.
Yeah.
But you're going to get the same effect out of it. I didn't put doubling season in here. Too many other good cards to put in here instead. The next one we want to get into is Storm the Vault.
Love that card, and I never see it played.
Oh, and it's definitely doing work here. We want it for the flip side of it, of course. The one that turns it into taps for blue for how many artifacts you control, and it's very easy to get it to flip as well.
Well, the other thing, too, is at its worst, it still is 1 mana of any color, right? So at its worst, it's still good. But at its best, it's like, I'm going to generate, like you said, you have 40 rock tokens, I'm going to generate 40 blue mana.
Oh, yeah. No, it's I don't think I have any X spells in here, but if you do and you
I would fill this with X spells for sure.
And if you have
Blue Sun Zenith at the table.
If you have Seaborn out, I tap for 40 mana every single turn.
Every single turn. See, you guys are giving me ideas here.
Oh, I put X spells in decks that don't need it, and you have so much mana generation, I would nonstop do it. I really like the next card too that you have, the Svela Ice Shaper. The artwork on it, just as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, this is very Attack on Titan. For anyone who's seen Attack on Titan, it's a great show.
Yeah.
But it is very Attack on Titan in its artwork.
This is my tester card. Huh? I haven't actually had this one on the field yet.
Oh, yeah. So you haven't played this one yet? It's very fun. I actually made a full deck out of Svela. It's fairly budget and stuff, but it's got crazy, again, lots of ramp spells, lots of fireball, X spells. I love X spells. But it's one green and red for a 2/4 legendary snow troll warrior. It has three tap, create a colorless snow artifact named Icy Manolith with tap for one mana of any color. And then it has a mana sink with six colorless and then gruel to tap. Look at the top four cards of your library. You can cast a spell from among them without paying your mana cost. Put the rest on the bottom in a random order. So mine is just a big ramp one that has like some titans in it that sometimes you get to cast a free titan and the other times you just get a raw cast of titans because you can make so much mana.
I just have to say that the trolls are another kind of tribe that you never really see much love for.
I think we'll get a little bit more.
Yeah, with soon. The next set's coming
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why I wanted that in there is it, you know, puts an artifact into play with all the other synergies that I have, and also it can start paying for itself with the mana list that it's creating. I can't wait to try that one out.
The mana lists, they suddenly just add up so quickly, and especially if you have a Seedborn. Just basically going up 4 mana every turn if you can get around the table, it's a lot. It's a big increase.
And if I have Shepherd Dragon out, then I'm still just using it to draw a card.
Well, and that's just it, right? You still have so many things that interact with artifacts themselves and not just the rock artifacts. So anything that generates you these is wicked.
Do I tap this Manolith for one colorless mana, or do I tap it to draw a card?
Yeah. You have a really big section here for card advantage. I want you to touch on those ones here.
So instead of like putting it through different categories like card draw or recursion, I just kind of slapped it all together. The most fun one, I'd say, is Tireless Tracker. I'm going to kind of start from the bottom up here. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate, so you get a clue token. And then whenever you sack a clue token, you can put a 1/1 counter on Tireless Tracker, but then you also get to draw a card.
And the clue token's an artifact as and the well. Clue token's
an artifact as well. So now you're netting a rock and a clue, which kind of ties into the option of when you can't throw the other
card. And you don't have to tap to sacrifice the clue token, so you can tap them for 2 to draw a card, and then sack them to draw a card.
Mm-hmm. Draw a card, yep.
Wow.
And then if you have Urza out, then you're just tapping those to also pay for itself.
Like, well, and you also have the activated ability deduction, so these really, a lot of the time, can end up being pay one, draw a card, and buff Tireless Tracker to the moon.
To the moon.
Right.
Yeah.
And then more haste shenanigans.
Now, I chose Tamir Ascendancy. There are actually a fair number of creatures that have power 4 or greater. So I put this one instead of like Fervor or that other green-red one I can't think of, the Lesko Fires of Yavimawa. Mm-hmm. We have the blue. We're putting this one in. Creatures have haste. Tap, throw a rock right away. Dome people right off the bat. Get them angry, but not angry. So the other thing, threat assessment-wise, this one's hard to pick out. Which is also kind of nice because it's like, oh, you know, you go into spell table match and he's just throwing rocks, whatever.
Yeah, he's just making rocks.
He's just throwing rocks. It's cute. I'll worry about player Y over there. Then the shenanigans kind of really, really roll in.
Well, this deck list is going to take people by surprise for sure, right? Like they're not going to see it. They're going to like be like, oh yeah, like he's got rock tokens. And then like you said, suddenly it's like one of the Juniper red enchantment where you're able to just like tap out, hey, I'll do 20 damage to you. What?
Oh, hey, you put out Azur the Enchanter. Remember, I can tap these and do damage.
Yeah, it's just blow problematic cards off the table. Like you said, the Shimmer Dragon draw. Like you have a lot of artifact synergy and that the improvise ability alone is like another really good one. Just like I said, mana reduction that you don't see is really, it's really easy to see a soul ring and be like, hey, this is a threat. It generates two mana. That's scary.
But like you're going to be able to play land Harmonicon for just two green.
Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the things that you can do with the artifacts here. You've got lots of, I think this is just a really well put together deck.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you continue on your list here.
This is probably, this is my baby.
This is your masterpiece deck?
This is my masterpiece deck. And going into that, I didn't have a lot to go on. I think I built it when there was only 15 decks up on Architect. Or EDH Rec, sorry. So it was just a lot of my own kind of digging and research, which is the most fun way to do it. And because of that, I'm just super proud of this deck that I built. And I'll be super proud of you if you build it. Right?
I will give you a rock.
I will sign a rock token and I'll mail it out to you. Tatiova, pretty straightforward. Get those lands into play, draw a card, get one life.
And then you got better Tatiova in here as well.
Better Tatiova, yep.
AC.
Get another land into play too.
Gain life or gain two life, whatever it might be.
Draw a card, yep.
Yeah.
AC doesn't give you the life gain.
Oh, no, not AC. No life gain there.
Just double lands.
Nah.
Boo. Yeah, boo. No. You got Rhystic Study. I saw that. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you get a cosplay a parrot. I like that one.
Yeah, and the best way, I was forgetting about my triggers, but Etch Gaming on Etsy, one of our sponsors, they have an upkeep trigger, like a little coin.
Yeah,
that could come in real handy.
Needing to remember all your triggers.
There is a fair bit. I got a little overwhelmed the other day. Thankfully, when you play with friends, they help you out a little bit. Even if they're about to lose, they help you out. So, Lotus, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ramen Up's such a good card.
Yeah, so we're getting those with Ramen Up. We're getting those fetch lands back into play and then sacking them.
Even if you're not doing anything with them and you have no cards to fetch, they're still crackable. You can still play them and crack them and replay them.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, and
you found
them. Then you also get a rock.
Yep.
And you also get a rock. Yeah. Just keep playing that fetch land over and over because, yeah, you're going to run out. I've run out of lands to fetch on more than one occasion.
Sounds like my Windgrace, a very similar thing. You quickly find out that you have nothing left.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was digging through the other day and I was like,
I failed to find.
And then another fun one, artifact synergy here is Quicksmith Genius. Whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you can discard a card. If you do, draw a card. Now, if I'm not mistaken, with the other kind of card draws I have here involving that, I think you can choose your triggers so you don't have to discard right away. I'll have to...
For which one, sorry?
What are you trying to do?
So if an artifact enters the battlefield...
Yeah.
Right, and then I draw that. But if I put a clue token in with Tireless Tracker, can I choose those?
Discard the clue token.
Like he's just saying, can he order which order the triggers go off? So
both the triggers go on the stack at the same time, and then you choose which one you want to do fully first.
So yeah, if I sack that clue token in response or whatever, I can
kind of
whatever. Yeah. So discarding a card isn't always going to be a bad thing. When it comes to stacking all these card draw triggers, because there's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you discard, for example, a land and you've got Ramen Up Excavate, you just play it back from the grave.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I've played this deck against you too many times, Lotus. I gotta start playing Arnie Brokenbrow more.
And I enjoy it every time.
We have Oracle Moldiah, pretty straightforward. Keen Sense, that's a fun one because we're going to throw rocks at people. And we're going to draw a card from it.
Oh, it's not combat damage. Interesting. Whenever a creature deals damage to an opponent, you may draw a card. Mini Curiosity. Very interesting.
Mini Curiosity. And again, I know I keep talking about Seaborn Muse, but if you equip a couple rocks to a creature, you could be drawing a couple cards per turn.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Guardian Project, standard creature with a different name, draw a card. Eternal Witness. You can get honestly anything back, even if you're wanting that land back. Like, lands matter in this deck, right? So don't, there's not really a, oh, I can only get this creature back, or I can only get this spell back. Like, basically everything's available to you because of the synergies involved. And then we also have Curiosity in there as well, to go with the Keen Sense, Beast Whisperer, straightforward. Land Harmonicon, your favorite, Dan.
I only refer to it as Land Harmonicon, and then everyone looks at me like I'm an... I was going to say a different word, but everyone looks at me like I'm a problem. When I ask for it at a game store, I'm like, hey, do you have a Land Harmonicon? They're like, what is that?
Ancient Green Warden.
It's Land Harmonicon.
Yeah, it's definitely Land
it's
Harmonicon.
It's pretty much the same.
It should have been called Land Harmonicon. Ooh, Ancient Green Warden. Get better, design team.
That Murmuring Mystic, or what? Murmuring? What's the one that's kind of like Young Pyromancer?
Oh, I don't even know. Murmuring.
But Young Fly Romancer, I think I was trying to call that one. I don't think it caught on.
You've got a... go ahead. I was just going to say your ramp stuff here.
What's that, Dan?
I was just looking at your ramp package, but you go ahead.
Yeah, so the ramp package, this is where I've kept it pretty, like, I'm talking about our metas and, you know, playing on stream and kind of adjusting to that. This is what I've changed it to. But the ramp package, you can either go hard or keep it around the same here. The way I had it before, that was a little too aggressive for me, might not be for you. But let me tell you how good it felt to get Jeweled Lotus out, play Togo, because he costs 3, and then play your land. And getting a rock on turn 1 just feels great. I'll have to deal with getting a rock on turn 2 now, but that was just something. and then you can kind of mix it up if you want. Lands or artifacts, whatever you have in your binder or whatever you want to go out and get. Since artifacts matter and lands matter in this deck, you can put it either way. I kind of did fast mana here with Nature's Lore, Rampant Growth, Farseek. Cultivate and Kadama's Reach, I know it's a lot of people's favorite card. The fact that it costs 3, I don't know. Like, we want those rocks out really fast, and those come out of a turn later. But yeah, the ramp package is up to you. I don't think there's a wrong way to do it. The only wrong way to make a rain package is to not make one at all.
Yeah.
So
there's classic green shenanigans ramp. I was going to say it's a whole segment of green and then a few artifacts.
Yeah. And the artifacts are the ones that are in basically every deck.
Your Arcane Signet, your Soul Ring.
Yeah, Arcane Signet, Soul Ring. Burnished Hearts in there for the 2 lands. Also an artifact. Secret All-Star in the ramp package. Actually, you need that one.
Mm-hmm. You do have some good removal spells, too. We'll touch your removal, and then I think you have only your removal, your combos, and your win cons.
Yes. So, yeah. Now, I even went to the Reddit community for my removal package. They kind of helped me tune it out a little bit. I had Lightning Bolt in there, and then they showed me how good a Braid was instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the with the modal on that, yeah, you can either destroy an artifact or deal 3 damage.
Yeah. Just so much more utility for 1 more mana, and mana doesn't look like your problem in this deck.
Now, I went kind of faster here with Swan Song and Pongify. Those are up for debate. Nature's Claim, if you don't, I don't care about giving someone 4 life. 2 rocks will take that away.
Yeah.
Counterspell standard.
I like that's your math, by the way.
Yeah. 2 rocks, yeah.
I'll gain 200 life. How many rocks is that?
100.
And, which is, you know what, we could probably get it to 100, Brian, so you watch out. I know you're making that as a joke, but I'm going to try. now, the one that probably everybody hates, Song of the Dryads in there, where you can just make someone's commander turn into a forest.
It's great removal. It's such a good yesterday. One.
Yeah. So with that in mind, like I said, like it's a pretty, you know, in the... As far as your play group, you can ask your meta if you want, but I was about to get killed with commander damage by Lathril, and that thing saved my life.
Honestly, I think people should run more removal in response to, like, Song of the Dryads, Darksteel, Mutation, and Oubliette.
That's a great card.
I remember being really nasty when the Tuck rule I was still in effect there with Bant Charm and whatnot. I was that guy tucking people's commanders. And since that's no longer a rule, let's just turn them into force.
I personally love the tuck rule, but this is, like you said, exactly. This is the equivalent of that, of like, hey, protect your commander, man. Don't just sit and try continuously recast it because you have a bunch of mana. Actually run the protection you should be.
Yeah, it's definitely needed. Definitely not as run as much as it should be. Going from your play group to online, which we talked about last time, actually. You can check out that episode as well. Chaos Warp, I just like the interaction with that. It's always like a drum roll to see what they're going to top deck.
So funny when they re-flip the card that you just Chaos Warped.
It's not funny. That is rough.
That's rough. Yeah.
Like, oh, did I even cast a spell? No? Yeah. Okay.
Was that a waste of three mana?
Sure was.
Sure was. Yeah, Swung on Pongify, Counterspell, Standard. And then I guess we can get into the combos and win cons.
Mm-hmm.
I won with this combo against Lotus the other night. And it's just basically involving Kadama of the East Tree and one of the Karus with Togo out.
Mm-hmm.
And with that...
Well, I guess you can endlessly put out rocks, right?
Can endlessly put out rocks. With that, if you have Shimmer Dragon out, then you can just keep tapping them for... to draw a card, which is what I was doing. And Doug, I played Amulet of Vigor, so now my Karus started coming in untapped, and I was tapping them for mana.
Yeah, so you can generate infinite mana, infinite rocks.
Yeah, you can play your whole deck at that point. And I won by putting Valduk out and then equipping him with, like, I think I said 10,000 rocks.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that that you don't have, like, Thassa's Oracle in here, just because it seems as if you can draw your deck quite easily with the number of rocks and everything that you do have. So, like, it's just very, very interesting to see, because I think with the amount that you're able to draw, Thassa's Oracle kind of has that fit in there.
Well, a Thassa's Oracle would be pretty fun in the deck. Like, obviously, a Thassa's Oracle, Lab Man, the Jace... Any of those cards should be pretty good to do the win drawing yourself out. I personally would like I like Blue Sun Zenith because it's personal draw. It's also, hey, I'm going to tap that Storm the Vault Land. Welcome back there, Benson.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. The Storm the Vault Land, I'd be like, I'll tap for 80 and I will, you know, Brian draw 73 cards.
When Benson was first talking about this, I was thinking of a win con, the Saga, the Antiquities War, where every artifact you control becomes a 5/5.
Ooh, that would be really scary. Oh, I got 40 rocks that are now 45/5 creatures.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I don't appreciate that.
One of the ones I was going to say before we even move on into the other ones, I'm shocked you don't run Brutaclad. Brutaclad is so fun, and I think Brutaclad would steamroll in this deck.
He's an option. I have him in my binder kind of ready to go. I'm just still kind of playing with it. The rocks would turn into what, the mirror tokens?
No, you choose whatever token you want. So any token you have out, you can make all of your tokens become one token kind.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
So you could, like, if you had Hull Breacher out and you're like, I have 60 treasure tokens, you'd be like, well, now they're all rocks.
That's hilarious. Like, I don't need this mana, but I need more rocks.
I personally use it to make Blightsteel Colossus tokens, but who's to say what the right way is?
Oh, there's a wrong way in that.
Yeah, there is. I've had a few games where I have 100 Blightsteels. Whoops. Whoops, right, Brian?
Yeah.
See, that just puts a smile on my face. That just seems like a silly number, right? I wouldn't be mad at that.
Fun day.
And then your Rakdos Charm.
Yeah, that is. I usually die doing things like that.
the win cons I have in here are silly.
This first one makes sense, though.
The Hellkite Tyrant?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get to 20 pretty easily. Pretty easily in a four-player game. We're going to be making probably 14 of them. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just have to steal some soul rings. No big deal. And then we'll get there at the beginning of the next upkeep. The other one that I love is mechanized production. This one, you know, it's make you kind of like a target. They try to kill you before your upkeep. So if you can protect yourself, you're set. But that one is you enchant an artifact you control. And then if you have eight or more, which is very easy to do again, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, this one's a cheeky one. This one, Rampage of the Clans. You're going to destroy all artifacts and enchantments, and then everybody gets a green centaur token.
For each destroyed.
For each destroyed. So as long as you have more artifacts than they do creatures and artifacts themselves or enchantments, then you're going to swing and win, basically.
40 rocks turning into 43 threes is a real scary time.
Yep.
I really like that. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's, it's hard to... I think I only got stopped once with it. but it was still fun doing it. Yeah, basically, hey, this rock just turned into a little centaur. I don't know how the magic world works. I don't know how that got birthed. Or if maybe this rock was a fossil with a... like a secretly an egg. That
birthed a little bit of DNA. Do centaurs come out of eggs now? That's the question.
Fossilized eggs, right? Yeah. Only time will tell. Wizards, let us know. So they're a little cheeky. The two Hellkite Tyrant and Mechanized Production people can kind of see coming and try to stop you. Rampage of the Clans is at instant speed, so you can destroy everything, and then you have technically, like, your guys can swing right away. So someone's going to die.
Yeah. This deck just every time, like, I didn't know that you hit some of these cards in here, but I really enjoyed every time you played this deck against me. It was just always fun to be like, Benson just has this pile of rocks, because first he starts laying them out, but then he's like, oh, they're not in a pile, or they don't look like a stack of rocks. So he's like, starts to actually make it look like a stack of rocks. And then he's like, okay, I got too many. I got to actually just like stack them into a pile now.
Into a pile now, yeah. But that's why the rock token collection is growing. I have 40. I might need more. Parallel Lives has only come out once, and they got stopped pretty quick. But if that doesn't go unchecked, and that's why you need to run more removal kits. If you don't run more removal, Togo Thrasios will run you over with rocks. It's going to feel like the Flintstones.
Real thuds happening here.
It's happening. So that, I think that's it. This is my pride and joy. If anybody does build this or build something close to it, I'd love to see it.
If you got rocks that you're not using, you know where they can find a home?
Send them in.
Send them in. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. If donate a rock to this poor soul right here.
To the poor Togo.
So I have to admit something to you, Benson.
Yeah, ready, close. I'm on the sidewalk, and my sign says, please, rock tokens, please. With my hat open that
I have to admit something to you, though, Benson.
What's that?
Togo makes number two.
So Brash Taunter goes to number three?
Yeah, Brash Taunter is number three.
So, Lotus, if you notice, my Kadama of the East Tree has a partner.
we'll get back. It doesn't have that ability on it.
So this is the deck. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. If you're watching on YouTube, I hope you had a fun time following along. This deck list to follow along will be linked in the description. If you have any suggestions yourself, again, I've posted this deck on Reddit, so if you just even click on our account, it'll see what I've posted or commented on, and feel free to join that thread, or if you want to comment on YouTube after liking and subscribing, that works too.
Well, here, let's roll the outro here, Benson. Go ahead, tell them where they can find everything.
So we are located on Instagram at Into the 99 Podcast, also IntoThe99.com. We have a Discord community, and we also have some new merch coming out. So if you don't want to just get Into the 99, you can wear it. Thank you for our sponsor, Magic Gaming. And that's it for me. Anybody else want to add something?
Two other shows that we do, Parallel Thoughts and also Brunnen Live. Make sure to check those out. Right. Give them some love. We have lots of great partners, so we tag them in our descriptions. Check them out.
You can also see Brunnen Live on Twitch under Crew9 Podcast Twitch channel as well, so you can either comment later or you can see it live.
Brian, when's that stream?
That stream is for Mountain Standard Time on Sunday with your host Lotus and Han.
And when do you guys do your card stream?
We do our streams, our Tuesday night gathering, like I said, Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and midnight Greenwich Mean Time.
It is indeed.
As well as if you want to support us, check out our Patreon, as mentioned in this episode, and our merch store, like Benson mentioned.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff to go, so we gotta really figure out a good system for the outro. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you all next week.
Talk to you later.
Take care. Rock it.
Help this deck.
Yeah, definitely build a deck. Bye, guys.
Oh, I am.
That was fun.